And we are live after some technical difficulties. We are here. We are queer. Well, at least 50% of us are queer. And we are here with an episode of the Breakfast Club. And it's me, Freest. And I'm here with Professor Kuro. How's it going?
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, everybody? Professor Kuro here. Back with another podcast. Although this one isn't mine. It's Freest and I'm hype. What's up, Freest?
What's good? You're looking great as a still image. I mean, you were looking great in person. Unfortunately, the stream had other ideas. Oh, by the way, if y'all are listening to this later, not on stream, and you do want to catch these live with whatever amount of technical shenanigans, hop over onto Twitch every Wednesday, twitch.tv/freest, FreeECed, link in the description. How's your day been, my guy? It's now, well, I don't need to say what time it is. We can assume it's breakfast time, but assume you had been up for a while. How would your day have been?
Assuming if the day I had today still exists within the confines of the day.
Yeah.
Had me a pretty good day. Woke up. Yeah, I woke up.
Always good. always a plus.
I was trying to remember. Because I knew I got smoothies. That's what it was. Mm. I was trying to remember if I bought my dad coffee or if I bought myself a smoothie today.
Okay.
No, today was a good day. Went, had work.
You know when your dad sends you out for coffee and you come back with a smoothie for yourself?
It's a problem. That's smoke in the water and blood in the streets. It's just a problem immediately. No, I had a good day. I had work. Got to drive drive around a little bit. I got my license test tomorrow.
Okay.
I got re-inspired for a song I'm working on.
Nice.
About a certain character that yells a fuck ton.
Yells.
By the way, I can curse on this, right?
No. Everyone else can. You'd be the first guest that is not allowed to.
Bet. All right, that's a challenge I can take. Psych, bitch! You would have thought.
That's also the second shortest anyone has gone without cursing. I just assume Olaf cursed like word one, episode one. Well, I could prove that, but it sounds like
work. I'm pretty sure when you first called me and I assumed that the stream was starting, I'm pretty sure my words were fuck yeah, what's up. So I think me and Olaf truly are birds of a feather.
Yeah, I think you might be right with that. I'm gonna turn you up a little bit. I think we can get this audio a little bit more crispy. And I know I try and do that before we start recording, but you know what? It's
It's a mid-game play call, you know?
Yeah, it's an audible. Sponsored by Peyton Manning Audible.
Omaha.
That's what I'm talking about. Nothing about that.
So you remember.
Yeah. I was there. I was there, Gandalf.
I was there.
What year was that? 2005, 2006?
The old days. Yeah. The Manning Brady days.
Mm.
When Eli was trash and Peyton was goat. I had a friend try to tell me that Eli Manning was a Hall of Fame quarterback, and I looked at him.
Hmm.
And I said, aside from the two rings that his defense got him, what do you have? Just look at the accolades. What? Like third longest active streak? Wow. You're cool.
Is it? There's no way. Really? Because how long? He'd be behind, I assume, Favre and.
He almost broke Brady. It until the Giants benched him for a game or something like that.
Oh, just games in a row. Not years.
Yeah, just consecutive starts. But he. Like, here's the thing. Eli is the perfect example of a decent quarterback.
Yeah.
He ain't crazy good. He ain't butt-fumbling Mark Sanchez bad. He's the definition
the
of
butt
mid.
Fumble. I'm just having a lot of quarterback flashbacks from the post-luck years. It's been rough.
Oh, hey, man.
But not to make this into a sports podcast, but, you know, we got somebody who might be a guy. So, you know, we'll see.
Who knows?
Enough about sports on this Nerdcore podcast. I'm sorry to say, honestly, I would not mind continuing to talk about football or baseball or hockey.
Course.
Like, those are my sports, you know? I hate the sort of connotation that there is with, like, nerd culture, that it can't coexist with sports culture. Like, I don't know if y'all have, like, seen baseball cards. It's just all numbers on the back. Like, that's pretty much nerd material right there.
I'm about to break universes right now, okay?
Okay.
UFC.
Okay. Right?
I'm talking MMA,
yeah.
Mixed martial arts, get your ass beat in the most disrespectful way possible,
sure.
Right? I'm talking whole motherfuckers' arms have gotten popped out of place in this sport, okay? The most jock thing in all of existence. Do you know who's one of the deadliest fighters in UFC? Israel Adesanya.
Okay.
Do you want to know what his nickname is? His moniker?
I do.
The Last Style Bender.
No way.
This man before every fight will do an anime pose. Like, in one of his fights, he walked up and did like the Rock Lee before Gaara fight pose. In one of the fights, he like fake opens a notebook, writes the guy's name, writes what round he's gonna beat him in, fake closes a book and puts it away. He's done the Luffy gear second. This man is a wholesale fucking nerd.
Love that. Love
he's one
that.
Of the most deadly fighters on the planet, yo. Nerd and sports have been together. It's just high school jocks never realized it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I feel like there's a... I don't know. There's a lot of... parallels between like shonen anime especially, and then like not even necessarily like straight up like you know where it's like the same sport. It could be like a hero thing, a fantasy thing, whatever, but there's a lot of like parallel between that and like the training process, the you know the you know, getting yourself ready for the ring or whatever it is you do.
Absolutely. I mean,
that's why we got people like Jax played, you know, who...
Exactly.
Yeah. Shaodou.
It's funny. I actually was literally just about to bring up Jax Blade. You perfectly read my mind.
I mean, he's kind of the guy when it comes to, like, anime/fitness. I mean, I can't think of anybody who more encapsulates just two stuck together.
The definition of a sports fanatic and an anime fanatic. Just,
yeah.
Here is your embodiment. Enjoy your idol.
But like, how many of the guys you see at the gym are there like because of Goku? Like more than I think most people would think. There's a lot of Goku heads at the gym.
Every time I work out, I'd be thinking like, damn, dude, I'm failing this set. This is hard. But you know, my man Luffy was out there and Impel Down. Man, I could keep going, right? My man Goku slapped Frieza. That Frieza killed his dad. I could get another set. Like,
yeah.
What's up? I could go Super Saiyan.
Yeah, I could slap a guy at the gym. Was that not your point?
100%. Just every time you walk into the gym, slap the biggest guy.
That's what I do every time I'm at the Planet Fitness. I go and I slap a guy, and they're like, "That's fine. Just don't drop the weights."
Yep.
Don't drop the weights. Don't grunt.
All good.
You can listen. You can stab a guy if you want. Don't make.
You
just
can hold up and
grunt.
Beat someone's ass. It just can't be loud. Like if your punches. Yeah, like if your punches sound like weights dropping. Oh no, we're throwing you out. But as long as your punches can be quiet, no, you're good. Beat his ass.
Yeah, 100%.
Hell, we'll build you a ring.
Shout out to Diggs Prophecy in the chat. What's good,
Diggy Diggs?
We're
my
having
man.
We're having a blessed episode. The Breakfast Club. Terichi, I think this time your internet is trash. I don't think that the stream died again. I'm almost certain.
Stream's good
on
my end. I got it open on the side. We looking Gucci.
Okay. Good. For anyone listening to this like on Spotify who doesn't have the visual cues, we are two static images talking to each other because the video was proving too tough for my poor internet. But you know what?
You want to hear some divine irony?
Okay.
You said I should do the whole podcast like those street performers
in
New York City that don't move.
I did say because you...
Boom, we made it happen.
Because you weren't moving, and you were like being crazy freaky good at just standing still, and I was like, we were both talking about how you should just like do the whole thing just standing still, and then lo and behold, my internet was like, yo, I got you, bro.
Let's make it happen. What a champ! What a champ!
Incredible.
Beautiful. You love to see it.
So, I felt like I had to start this episode in a hurry because you were beginning to tell what I think was going to be a very enlightening story. But I wanted to set it up a little bit for people who weren't here pre-episode, you know, on the stream. Which, by the way, is a benefit of tuning into these live. You get to catch that stuff, you know, beforehand and afterward and whenever, you know, the lore, the setting, the context. So if I can properly trace this back, if I'm remembering this, the thread was something like, we had just come up with some kind of like a fake name, and I already don't remember what it was. Oh, Serendipity, right. Because it was, you said something was Serendipity, and I was like, Serendipity is like a teacher who goes to like teach in the inner city and makes up the name like Serendipity to be like a rap name while she tries to teach the students about Shakespeare. And then you said,
so I have two stories for this situation, actually.
Okay.
So I'm gonna give you one, and then I'm gonna hit you with number two.
Okay. All right.
So the first story is was in my high school, my AP world history teacher was a rapper, like legit, like you can find his albums online, like dude raps, right? But in order to just be the absolute meme that he was, he would bring his rap persona to class and rap about the French Revolution.
Okay.
And it was a whole production. Like he'd start class, he'd take attendance, and he goes, all right, guys, I'm going to call to the office. I'll be back in 15. Don't get crazy. Insert student name. You're responsible for the class. Just make sure nobody dies. He'll walk out, change, come back, and be like, yo, 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 it's the MC, yo. Like, just hyperacting it. And they'd be like, all right, yo, so I'm going to school you out to the game real quick about the French Revolution. You know what I'm saying? It's the Treaty of Versailles, but you can't pick a side because if you can't decide, like, and he'll start, mind you, he was nasty. Yeah. Like, he wasn't even, like, he was nasty.
Yeah.
And so he was doing that.
He's chopping up a track like a guillotine. I get it.
100%. I like that. So he did that. And then another teacher in the social media department was like, yo, I wanted to join. And he literally was like, you're trash at rapping. He goes, that's the point. We can rap battle each other as different sides, and you'll always beat me because you're just better.
Okay.
And so lo and behold, you have a 5'2" looking Wolverine guy.
All right.
Rap battling a 5'7" bald headed guy about the French Revolution. And it's great because one of the bars is just garbage, but it's so hilarious that you just have to go with it. And then the other one is nasty, but just for comedy's sake, we'll also spit garbage bars. So you're just sitting there like, how is this high school? I love it. It was to this day, when I discovered that my AP world history teacher had a rap alter ego, I don't know what to tell you. I genuinely don't know what to tell you. It blew my mind.
See, this is what I call a primo wasted opportunity. Whenever I think about how Schwabity used to be a teacher, I think there's no way that he was up there in the computer labs every week, like, yo, I'm about to spit mad verses, but first I'm gonna need y'all to move your cursors up to the tab and then hit the red X. I'm gonna ship this track like it's FedEx. I don't think that was happening. This is unfortunate.
You had something? I think just rewrite it, get a new beat, get a new rapper, you have a good song.
Alright, so throw the whole thing out, but keep everything else.
Exactly.
Great song.
Fresh face, new model it.
Like I'm not gonna send this one to the label. Like if I did, I would, but I won't. That's one of my favorite things to say. Oh, if I did, I would. Which means
I would, but no, I won't.
I haven't. I shan't. My other favorite thing to say. So my other favorite thing to say.
All you.
Story interlude is to whenever I want to talk about something that like I don't intend to do whatsoever, I'll do this. So like for instance, working out, right? I'm like, so these days I'm working out 0 times per week, like none at all. This time next year I'm looking to do it 2 or 3 times that.
Bars. That's smart. Because for those of you that do not understand,
yeah,
anything multiplied by 0,
right,
is 0. Go!
Uh-huh. If you multiply 0 by itself,
whoa.
Well, I didn't really get into calculus, but you know, I wouldn't try it, honestly. I were you.
I failed math like right out the womb, so like I'm good.
why they have you taking math right out the womb? That's the problem. They put you too many grades ahead.
That's what I'm saying, man. They set me up to fail, man. Ops out to get me, these fellas.
The man was on the test milk when he needed the breast milk.
That's it, bro. I said I need a tea, not a sheet. God damn it.
Man was having exam-ries. He just needed the mammaries.
They're trying to teach me in the classroom. I'm trying to learn how to use the bathroom. Hold on. There's steps to this.
I don't have one.
I'm saving you. I'm saving you. Because I'm out as well. I'm saving us. So I promised 2 stories.
Okay.
So we got through my professor, but what we didn't talk about was the unregistered origins of Professor Kuro.
Okay.
So I don't know if you peep this, but like a week and a half, that was a hiccup. A week and a half back or so.
Okay, I thought this story was about to be emotional.
No.
A week and a half back.
No. There was like a Twitter thread. It was like, tweet yourself as like a final boss or whatever it was, right?
Yeah.
And I posted this god awful picture of me in like an oversized jersey, 3 chains on, mm-hmm, like a snapback turned backwards,
yeah,
cargo jeans, like old Nike notebook high tops, right? And so there's a story behind that picture. For those of you who follow me on Twitter, Professor Kuro or Kuro _ Professor, you can find the picture. So in my AP English class, my junior year,
yeah,
the professor was like, hey, you can pick any Shakespeare book you want to do a project on, but you need to find a partner. So me and my homeboy were like, yo, King Lear. So boom, read King Lear, had a blast. And then we're like, yo, what's going to be our project?
Wait a minute.
And he's like, yo.
I just need to know, like, why King Lear? Why was it King? Because I've never heard anybody get that excited about King Lear. And I've heard a whole lot of people talk about King Lear.
Honestly, it's just such a fucked up story. Like, men,
fair enough.
My man's own children,
yeah,
were fucking up his life. Like, yo, yeah, all like his 2 daughters, trash. His last daughter, he was ignorant, so he was trash. Like, it's just such a fucked up story. And I love the fool. I love his advisor, who's father of another character that gets outed. I haven't read King Lear in like 8 years.
Yeah, so nobody has.
It back then, it was in my mind.
Okay.
So we were trying to figure out what we wanted to do as a fun project. And we were like going back and forth. And then my boy was like, yo, what if we taught the class about the book where I do it making fun of the teacher, like the literal teacher of our class, and do it, you know, super meticulously or whatever. And then you do it in a weird way. I'm like, I'll rap. And he's like, you can rap. I'm like, fuck no, but that's the point. So I literally got the pen out. I found 3 beats. I took Nicki Minaj's Roman's Revenge.
Okay.
I took the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air beat. And I can't remember.
Okay, those 2 together already. Interesting decision.
If I could, I wish upon a star that I could find those lyrics. It would take me like half an hour, so I'm not gonna do it now. But it was like, so this is a story all about how my daughters got married and fucked up my, like, it was just like, just super, like the exact same flow, but I just flipped the lyrics for King Lear. And so that's what I did. And I was like, I decided to go full rapper MC. Like, I took my brother's football jersey. I took my mom's necklaces and rings. Like, I went full. Like, I didn't speak normal the whole day. Like, all my friends were like, yo, I'm like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. It was good. It was popping.
I said, method actor.
Wow.
They're like, they would be like, yo, Kerr. I'm like, nah, nah, nah. It's MC King Lear in this bitch. Y'all know the deal. Y'all know the name. Y'all peep the fit.
How many kings do you think would be better if they had MC in front of their name? Like, oh, MC King Henry VIII? Like, hold on.
King Louis XIV, but MC?
MC
King Louis.
What if we just drop King and we just have MC Louis? MC Louis XIV is kind of nice. Oh, we've got...
Elizabeth the Great? Yo, that's a, that, honestly, fuck it. In the new world order that we're going to build... We're gonna have all leaders are just gonna be called MCs, and in order to debate or do any type of rhetoric, you gotta spit bars. You wanna push new legislation? If honestly, how better for you to prove to me that you know what you're talking about than spitting bars?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that's it. Rap is the way of the future. That's it.
Who do you think right now in like American politics could spit the best bars? My money's on AOC. Or?
I was about to say.
Possibly Bernie. AOC. I feel like he can do it. He just never has. But Bernie, if he had Sanders, to, he could just bust it out.
Bernie Sanders on a little Yachty type beat might be the hottest thing to ever drop.
Okay. And I think we have a little snippet toy of that now. We'll just put this on.
Like a little toy flute in the background.
I'm trying to think of like a dope Bernie Sanders rhyme.
Sanders walking more plaid than
I can't. You know, it's hard to, because I'm trying to think of what he sounds like as well, so I can do it in the voice.
Just angry and old.
And very,
I love him, by
angry
the way.
And old and very East Coast. Yeah.
Just absolute. I'm calling on you once again.
It's been months since I've tried to do a Bernie Sanders. I kind of want to see if the magic is still there, but I need a dope line. If you feed me a dope line,
I will give you a good line.
Yeah, I'll try it. I think that the rhyme could either be off
Bernie,
of mittens or Medicare or something I haven't thought of.
Oh, I was going to just rhyme off of his name. I was going to rhyme Bernie Sanders with Mr. Flanders from The Simpsons.
Okay,
okay,
so what's the scheme?
Hold on. How about I just freestyle a Bernie Sanders scheme for you?
Okay. All right. Let's get it.
No, terrible. All right. I got you.
All
ready?
Right.
Ready?
Take one.
I'm about to make more waves and trends than a deep sea diver with the bends. It's Bernie Sanders with the pen, and I'm about to take the government older and set a new trend. Cause new. Now I'm just freestyling that, and you're not gonna memorize all.
Okay,
of that.
There were like one line of that had to do with Bernie Sanders.
I ended up just spitting a 16 where I schemed an opening four of trends and bends in water and then switched it into Bernie Sanders causing new trends in government. Instead of just giving you a line, I'm like, yo, let me just give you a verse and then you can take what you want.
Okay, wait a minute.
If you guys
haven't
noticed, excess is a sin I suffer from.
It's like,
hey, yo, it's MC Bernie Sanders. So sexy on a track like a curvy Flanders.
that's what I got.
That is perfect.
Going back on that Ned Flanders type scheme.
I don't care about economy that's laissez-faire, but let's get down to business and talk about Medicare.
There we go. There we go. Gotcha, we got it in there. So
we both got one. We both got one.
Both got one. Plus you're 16. On all major streaming platforms this Saturday.
Bernie Sanders is the track we're dropping this weekend. Call up K2 Sonic. We need an AMV.
Listen, I don't know if we can get a K2 vid. Let's cover our bases. Call K2, let's call Jay, let's call Afro, and just whoever can get that video.
No. No one from the UK can be on this.
Okay.
We're flipping the bias. We're flipping the bias.
Oh, I just meant for the video. I'm just thinking of everybody who makes videos.
Oh, no, even still, I'm sorry.
Okay.
No, it's all... Afro, if you're hearing this, I'll step on your toes, and then I'll put a Lego under your foot when I do it.
Oh, okay. Afro Lego C.
Yeah.
How about this? Afro Leo C. And then it's just all AOC
Afro
bars.
Afro on AOC?
Yeah. Is that anything? Don't answer that. I know it's not. I know it's not anything. I already know.
Oh, I heard enough.
Is that educational rap you did? I mean, is that where you got Professor Kuro from, or was that just like a completely isolated? Where did the professor come from, Professor? Because I think you have said this before, and I've heard it. I just straight up don't remember.
No, that's absolutely fine. I think it's a story that like maybe 10 people have actually heard. Like it doesn't come up often, but the actual origin of my name has nothing to do with music.
Okay.
So I've, you know, been a user of YouTube, a supporter of the nerdcore community. And I say supporter before I transitioned to fan, because for a while it was just like, oh, I'll check out this song. It wasn't like consistent viewership and support. So it was just, I was a supporter, I was casual, but I wasn't as into the community as I have been for about the past year. Huh. So this is going back, go back before the vid. When the world was bright and full of hope.
When was that? It's been so long.
It's been fucking decades. Okay. A young man thought about becoming a YouTube content creator. And what I was originally going to make on my channel, I was going to take long-running shonen, shoujo, just whatever long-running anime, manga series I could find that I've already seen. So One Piece, Fairy Tail, DBZ, Sailor Moon, like those really big titans that are long-running. And I was going to summarize them, but I was going to go crazy with it. Like I was going to like, because I was still like on my college campus at that point during undergrad. So I was going to like take one of the classrooms, like take one of the like 4K cameras from the library, like dress up, be in front of a whiteboard and like actually summarize every single arc and saga of all the series. So I was going to take One Piece and go arc by arc, saga by saga, and summarize it as condensed as I can be without skipping over the information that I know you'll need based on me being up to date with the manga. And I was going to show clips and voice, like it was going to be a whole production.
Like a whole production. Yeah, so I was like, going to be a whole production.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be a whole shebang. So at that point, I'm like, all right, classroom setting, teaching the history. All right, professor's an easy name. Like that's just, it's going to roll off the tongue. It's going to fit. And I could always start to be like, Professor Kuro here, welcome back to class. And then the Kuro part, I was just sitting down. Hey, what's up, DPS?
Hey,
sexiest
DPS
two men on the planet.
Chat.
Now we got the third sexiest.
Well, not the third sexiest, but the third space sexiest.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. don't get it twisted. My man DPS out here. So
neither bop that nor twist it.
But you can play it, not playing. So I knew I was gonna do professor. I was like, all right, I want something that's really catchy for the second half of the name. Like, I could just use my like actual birth name.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
throw the government on there.
And then I swear, this is exactly what happened. I was sitting down, and I was just looking at my laptop, and I'm like, professor, 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 professor Black? No. I mean, I am, but no. Kuro. Professor Kuro.
Sakura.
PK rolls off the tongue.
Uh-huh.
Fits. My entire wardrobe is black. I am who I am. Yeah. And that's it, it literally was the easiest thing I've ever done. It was literally just, I know Professor Fitz, and I just need one more word. Kuro it is. And, you know, I had to go with Kuro over anything else because you got to weeb it up. You got to weeb it up a little bit.
Get a little weeby in here.
Exactly.
I see a name like Professor Kuro, or a name like Game Boy Jones, or a name like, I don't know, like Connor Quest. Any name that sort of is like, it has like a name element to it, and then also just like an actual word. Those are the names that I get jealous of from time to time because I think that they are so much more memorable, and also easier to pronounce. Because then you know you got people like Schwabity and me, whose names are just nonsense, and
just get butchered as much as possible.
The upside is like. You type that into Google, it's the first result, even like before, you know, you're that big, especially the longer it is. So I think Schwabity had like a one up on me for, you know, there starting out.
Yeah, the SEO for you guys, because yeah, nobody else in existence is Schwabity.
However, comma, people trying to pronounce or remember your name, that's an issue.
What's your name? Is it Freesed? Is it Freaked? Is it Freseed?
See, I've had enough people think that it was Freaked that it made me consider it. I was like, you know what?
I mean my name Freaked is low-key a crazy name.
It's kind
of Freaked is clean.
Yeah. Freaked is like, if I were a graffiti artist, I think Freaked would be good.
Oh, that would honestly, if you were like a digital artist or just any type of like visual, like artistic art.
Yeah,
because like music is art and a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
Freaked would be a crazy name.
Yeah, it's a good tag.
You gotta trademark it now. Make sure nobody can take it.
Would it be spelled the exact same, or would it be like the same but with a K instead of a C?
Just take all the spellings. Fuck it. Just take all the spellings.
Let me see.
Just make it yours.
I hesitate to Google this, but let me see if there is a Freaked that's like Freaked.
F-R-E-E, that spells
okay, this is just people not know how to spell.
Baby.
This again. Okay, this is just people not knowing how to spell Freaked. I think there's an at Freaked. Wait, who's this? Freaked, at Freaked 2 on Twitter is... looks like it has to do with fighting, but it's also all in French, and I don't really read French. So that's going to be a problem for me.
Read French.
I mean, I read French. I don't understand it. But I sure do see the words. is there a freaked.com? I know.
I feel like that might lead. Good thing we're not.
That's
on,
what
like,
I'm
we're
worried
not showing
about.
Screens.
Wow.
This might get real interesting.
What? Here's a fun game that I just invented. This is called How Much to Buy This Domain, Do You Think? And I'm just gonna say the name of a .com that is available, and you tell me how much you think it would cost to buy this domain right now. Given that
Cakewalk.
Usually, so
let's
okay. So for context, for people at home who might want to play along, when you usually buy a domain like like a .com, .net, .org domain, whatever. If it's nothing too common, if it's not something that would be in high demand, so for instance, something like freest.com, because freest is not a real word, nobody else really cared about it. That was not like an expensive get. Most of them are like somewhere between like 10 to 12 bucks a year. Not bad. The more people want it, the more it's going to cost. And also depends on like who's selling it. So that said, Freaked, which, by the way, the misspelling for freaked.com, so F-R-E-E-K-E-D .com, is for sale. How much do you think? This is in USD.
100 bucks.
More.
Damn, fuck.
Yeah. And when I tell you this, your head's going to fall off.
I bet. Honestly, I'm going to go crazy. 2K.
2.7K.
Let's go. I knew it was something fucking absurd. Insane. The minute it was more than 100. I knew it was stupid.
You can also do it in monthly payments, which is wild.
They're so humble. Look at that. They're giving us monthly payments. Wow.
Yeah.
How sweet. That's hilarious.
Yeah. It's,
I mean, hey, the algorithm of misspelling words is legit a thing. Like, I know people that in their, like, descriptions and in their tags will misspell their own name just in case people can't search them up properly.
Well, you got, I mean, so, I know, I think I used this in a, I don't remember if I actually said it, like, I must have said it in the battle that I had against Breton Boy. I feel like this is something that I should remember. But it was because he had this rebuttal where he flipped it on me a little bit, but about how, like, if you search Breton Boy, it all comes up Breton Boy. It's like all his songs, but it's all Breton Boy. Anytime, like, when I did a collab with him, half of the tags were taken up by, like, the same exact thing, but Breton Boy instead of Breton Boy, in case people typed it in wrong, because they were gonna.
That's so hard. That is so tough. Like, even, like, I know, like, also, like, Xiao Do types his name out, like, Shadow, Xiao Do with the space, Xiao Do, no space.
Yeah.
I think he might type, like, a couple other ways just because people just go, just, it's, I just, it's such a, like,
I wonder if I should start doing alternate spellings of my name in my tags. I just don't think anyone spells it wrong. I think people just don't know how to say it.
I don't even tag myself most of the time. I only recently started tagging myself and, like, my reactions and stuff.
Oh, you got
it. I was like, oh, tag the song in the anime. And I was just looking back one day and I was like, do I not care about me? Am I a joke to me?
You got it for the SEO, because, you know, then when people just look up your name, then it'll pull up your videos. You know, those will all be like in the first results. If you tag yourself.
Is that now? I'm like, wow, I should have learned this, like, fucking, what, 8 months ago?
Oh, vidIQ has been, like, godly for me.
Oh, vidIQ is just, every time I see that 47 out of 50, I'm just like, yes, give me that A.
Yeah, I got to, like, 49.
Tell me I'm right.
I got to, like, 49.5 out of 50 the other day, and it felt better than any illicit substance that I may or may not have ever tried. It was the best.
Yeah, that 50 out of 50 is a goddamn lie. I don't give a fuck what.
I don't believe in the 50 out of 50.
Screenshots you can show me. That 50 out of 50 is a whole ass lie.
I don't think I've ever gotten above 49.5. I've had like a couple videos that were up in the 90s overall, and that was nice.
If I hit 45, I'm happy. 45 out of 50, I know I'm clean.
Gotta be. It gets to be like its own game, you know.
100%.
But speaking of the Body Bag Battle League, now the Packed Lunch Battle League. How's that gig going for you? Like, what amount of the week when you're not judging? For anyone who doesn't know, the Packed Lunch Battle League is a battle rap league run by, begun by Schwabity and run by mostly Schwabity, and then, you know, with a steady but rotating cast of judges, I think that'd be fair to say, of which Professor Kuro is one. How much of your week when you're, like, you know, when it's not, a battle week and it's not like the Sunday that you're judging, like, do you go back and think about, like, battles that you judged and ever, like, second guess decisions that you made? Or is it like you make the decision and you're like, that's, I'm not thinking about it again, that was the right decision?
So that's a really good question. And what I do is, in the battle, right, so I'm gonna go through my mind process during the battle as I'm judging, and then after the fact.
Okay.
So in the battle, the minute, like, Schwab is like, all right, guys, like, first round, start whenever you're ready, and I'll start time. The minute that happens, my mind is like, whatever I think right now is what I must go on. I kind of go into it just with the full understanding that I'm not going to get a second chance to give someone the W or give someone the L. So I kind of go in understanding like, okay, this is important. I need to make sure that I am analyzing everything as much as possible.
So sorry to interrupt you. I forgot that I left notification noises on. So this is in the podcast
and
now.
It scared you.
So I'm hearing my notification noise. Dark Demon, thank you so much for those two gifted subs to Digs of Prophecy and DPS. And oh my gosh, I gotta turn off my alert noises. Thank you so much.
Yeah, facts. Shouts out to Dark Demon, Dark Demon 913 on Twitch. That's the homie. That's
Dark
Demon
is absolutely
right there.
The homie. Can I do a shout out in chat? twitch.tv/darkdemon. I'm so bad at this.
913. So you gotta make sure the people, you know, you know what they say about psychology, you gotta hear it three times, make sure it sticks.
I don't care that I just put 10 seconds of dead air on my podcast. This is important.
Yeah, I mean, we got to do what we got to do.
There we go.
This is about the homies.
Always. So, homies at the forefront.
Always got to give love to the homies. Homies first and foremost, baby.
Okay, let me try and regain my train of thought a little bit here. So we were talking about the PLBL, you were in the middle of a sentence. You were talking about, you probably remember what you were talking about. You're pretty good with that.
Yes. So you were asking me about if I would go back and think over or second guess decision that I made during judging.
Yeah. You said you go in the moment.
Like
whatever you think, that's what it is. No second chances.
Exactly. And that's why, like, and I know it might get, like, annoying, like, for the fans and for the viewers. Like, that's why whenever Schwabity is like, oh, Kuro, if you want to go first, like, that's why I'll take up, like, a good 5 minutes just going through every round for everyone. Because that's, I don't give myself a second chance, but that's my moment to ironclad my decision. So it's like, I'll listen to the battle, you know, I'll stank face, I'll laugh, I'll be like, ooh, that was weak. And I'm typing up, like, I have, like, a full screen, you know, note page, and I'm just typing up, like, this bar was good, this bar was weak, they tripped up, they choked, ooh, that was a smart scheme. And I'll even, like, label, like, oh, you know, like, X, Y, and Z scheme, or, oh, they did a Phineas and Ferb scheme. Like, I'll make sure I remember it, so that when I'm in that moment right before I declare round, here's the winner, I remember everything that impacted me. And at that point, it's just what impacted me more. And then I give the winner. Afterwards, I will re-listen to the battle, because there are battles that have just been that close. And I'll re-listen to them. And then on my own, I'll say, were they robbed of a win? And I would re-listen to the battle and be like, it becomes at that point, it's splitting hairs. I've never looked at a rap battle that I've judged and been like, oh man, I really regret, you know, the decision I made, because at the end of the day, I can't change it. I have those 3 1-minute rounds that the two contestants share, and then the like 3 to 6 minutes that the three judges get after the battle to make a decision. There's no instant replay. There's no, oh, can you drop box me your lyrics so I can look through them and point out the schemes and highlight which ones I like more. You got to go with the flow. And Will I miscall a battle one day, or have I miscalled a battle? That's absolutely possible. Because the beauty of these battles, as much as I can be objective, it's still music. So of course, if I love, you know, a certain scheme, that's because this scheme affected me. It could be an arguably good scheme, and you could show it to 1,000 people and 750 will like it, but there's 250 that'd be like, eh, it's a mid scheme. It's something that I've learned to kind of get accustomed and be okay with. But that's kind of like my whole mentality going into judging the battles, is I got to be present, got to capture as much from both sides as I can, and from that, make a quick judgment on who I thought did better in the moment.
Yeah. It's interesting
So obviously, and everything you said is like, you know, a big reason why there's three judges, not one judge.
Exactly.
You know, so you do get that nuanced perspective. And so, like, you know, everybody's trying to look at it objectively with the understanding that there is going to still be, you know, some personal preference involved. But from kind of the other perspective of you know, a battler in the league, there's something that happens when, like, you think that like you're kind of counting on a certain bar impacting a certain judge, and it turns out that judge isn't judging that week. Like, I've had that happen a couple times. And I've rewritten stuff like minutes before, because, like, when I realized that that the judge that I kind of wrote a bar like direct, like specifically because I knew that they would really appreciate it, like, wasn't gonna be there, because, like, I mean, that's part of, like, the part of the craft that I think is so different with battling in a league, especially, than it is just writing songs. It's like you got to play, depending on what kind of thing it is, right? Cause sometimes you play to the audience. If it's like audience decided, here it's judge decided, so you know the judges are your audience. But one thing that's really interesting for me going back is because, you know, when I'm battling, I'm not reading chat. I am trying not to stutter. So when the videos go up, and I check them out, like, reading chat while watching the battle is so enlightening. And I feel like that is like 50% of everything that I've learned since starting has strictly been from, like, paying attention to what lines hit the hardest, both, like, for the judges and the audience. 'Cause what I've noticed is sometimes it's like, it's sort of the same thing, you know, that happens with YouTube uploads. It's like you'll put something together and you don't think it's that meaningful. You'll put it out and it's like everyone's favorite thing you've ever done, you know, or yeah. You'll spend like way too long on something, then realize you're the only person that cares about it. And it's like, it's the exact same thing with battling. It's like sometimes the bars you think are the hardest are like not at all.
They're lukewarm.
Yeah. I had a bar, this latest one against Connor Quest, that was one of those you know, insanely close ones, where my favorite bar in the whole thing hit like 0% with the judges, hit 0% with anybody, and I think part of me realized, like, even before the battle, that it might not, and it was just one of those cases of like something you shouldn't do in a battle, but I was like, I'm leaving this in here because I like it. And maybe you should do that, because the point of being in the league and battling and everything is to have fun and improve.
Enjoy yourself.
Yeah. If there's any sort of like craft or art that you're doing and you straight up don't enjoy doing it, or you find yourself doing things that you dislike to make a product that you don't like, because you think it'll get more traction or whatever. Like, there's no point. Do something else. My opinion. Not to say, like, don't do things that are difficult. Like, I'm not saying that at all. But, like, you should, you know, you should enjoy the results.
Yeah.
Like, don't do things that you dislike. I think there's a difference between, like, something being difficult and, like, you know, disliking it.
For example, don't just walk through a sewer to just walk through a sewer. There's no reward, and that's difficult.
No, but if you're, like, you know, escaping Shawshank, then there might be a reason.
Walk through the sewer.
Walk through the sewer.
if the result or if the process itself is something that's enjoyable or could contribute to growth,
yeah,
absolutely do it.
For sure.
That's actually something I should do. I should definitely go back to watch more of the battle raps and read the chat, because I'll be honest, I don't see chat. Like, I am as a judge, because I need to make sure that whatever I'm stating is my opinion.
Sure.
I will literally open the tab, because, you know, hashtag support the homies, and then I'll put like Twitter up. Or I'll literally just put like I'll open up a tab and just like find the color black and just cover that screen, so that I absolutely just don't get influenced by anything aside from my watching. I even don't see Tev and Schwabity or Frost or Xiaodou. Like when I'm judging, I don't even realize the other judges' reactions unless it's literally just perfectly timed that I react and I'll catch them out the corner of my eye while writing. So it's funny how now I'm actually realizing like the amount of tunnel vision I get for just hearing. Like I am just like zoned in to try and hear as much as possible. And I never actually realized that, which is kind of frightening. Maybe I should not have that much tunnel vision.
One thing that I was wondering about, because I've heard like it when the judges are making their decisions, like sometimes they'll mention this sort of offhand, and I don't know to what extent it's an actual system for anybody, but you're the only one that I've thought to ask about it. But like,
go ahead.
Do you use any sort of points system for judging where it's like, you're like, you kind of stack it like while it's happening, you're like, oh, that was a good bar. They get a point for that. Or like that bar scores 2 points and then you like weigh it up at the end to help your decision. Or is it sort of like you sort of weigh everything, you sort of like note down everything, but then you actually like weigh the value of it later?
So I don't do points at all. It is me just writing down lines that stick out, interesting affects. I usually like I most of the time I'm jotting down positives. Every once in a while, like a round will happen and I'll literally just type up mid. Like if there were no crazy bars or anything. So for me, it's not necessarily point values, but more so I'll just annotate everything that caused a reaction in me, positive or negative. And that's kind of how I keep an idea of how a round went. So it's like, oh, okay, this round, this person had a lot of small things that resonated with me. A lot of small things that made me go, ooh, damn, okay. And then maybe the other person just had these just haymakers, just like 4 mollywops to the dome. And then from that, I'll be like, okay, yeah, this person popped off and had crazy haymakers. But this person was just steady chopping, but I'll give the round to X person. And then vice versa. If like 2 people have bad verses, I was like, are there any things that I can find redeemable in either one? And whichever one I can find more redeemable qualities for will be the winner if it's like 2 bad verses. But I don't like sit there and be like, all right, like this bar is 3 points and 4 points. No, that's fucking math. And we discussed this. I'm about the mammaries, not the examaries. All right. Fuck out of here.
that's interesting. Like an interesting thing to consider, like the difference between like a points-based system and then a sort of, well, you know what, I think it kind of goes back to like what you said before about how everything's sort of very much like in the moment, like your decisions being based in the moment, really. Like I think just having that sort of like confidence in how you evaluate each round, rather than trying to make it too like clinical, because really like battle rap especially, like it can't be broken down into like that sort of, you know, examinative sort of like sterile even sometimes logical style, because it's like, if that were the case, you could just have both people send in their lyrics, you know, and go over them that way. Like don't even have the battle, but like clearly, you know, there's something that happens in the moment. There's reactions that are generated. There's, something I was kind of like, talking to Connor Quest with after our battle. We were just chatting and like going over, like comparing, you know, some of our favorite of each other's bars. We were saying like a live version of PLBL would hit so hard and like,
oh my God,
so different, you know, because seeing the crowd's reaction,
now you get the performative aspect.
You know, yeah. Like I just think it'd be so much fun to like, you know, you're doing your part and then you like turn to the audience to, you know, to get the full effect or whatever, deliver a bar. Like there's so much you can do with that. Explore the space, use the stage, use props.
Oh, 100%. Imagine your battle that you had when you literally fucking went acoustic guitar. Imagine if you were on stage, be like, why don't I do this, Breton? And then you hold out your hand and fucking Mir brings up a guitar for you, because it has to be Mir. Like,
it's
got to
be Mir. Yeah, of course.
It's got to be a loop member. It has to be a loop member to do it. Mir brings you a guitar and you're like, thunderclap flash, my gun shooting fast, ayya. Water surface slash, wind up your man's, ayya. Like, on stage.
Yeah.
Like, who was it? Who was the most recent person that Politicus fought? It was Politicus and I can't remember, which is so sad.
Was it Politicus versus Jason? Did they go up each other?
I think it was Jason. Yet? No, it wasn't Jason. Jacob Cass. There we go. Jacob Cass.
Yeah, that's right.
So in that one, I think Jacob Cass had this like, I'm going to rip you open and pull out your innards like I was revving a chainsaw. And like he said that bar, and me, Tev, and Schwabity all remarked, like, if this was a video format or a live format, you actually, like we all saw you doing that movement. And that's the kind of movement that if he did that on stage, crowd going crazy.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
One of my favorite rap battle moments, although it's kind of a meme, is Hitman, Hala, and Khan against Arsenal. And they're just going back and forth, and like literally they're physically moving around the stage with each other to do these crazy performative bars. Like, I'll take your head, put it on the floor, and I'll give it a soccer kick. And like he literally like goes got to the guy's head, like acts as if he took it off, put it on the floor. Khan winds up, does like a kick motion. Like having those bars, because once you add in that visual element, a mid to a low battle rap bar can be pushed way up from the physical enactment and performative aspect of it. So that's something that I wish we could have, because those would be fucking wild.
That, and then combined with having duo battles, because you can't really do that on Discord. Like, there's no way.
Now, the delay would be problematic.
Yeah. Especially for, like, you know, quick, like swapping off stuff, you know, doing, like, duo
quick
bars
attack,
like,
I flip it back and smacking it down would not work on Discord.
Exactly that kind of stuff. I think Shabri and I tried to do like, or I think it was actually when we were writing, because we wrote that song on stream. No, we didn't. What did we do? We didn't write it on stream, but we
probably in a Discord call.
We were on a Discord call, so maybe that's just what I'm thinking of. I thought maybe. Oh, he recorded his part on stream. Okay, I'm conflating the two. He recorded his part on stream, and but before that, yeah, we were on this long call where we wrote it, and we were like trying to get the timing down for that part, and it was hilarious because it was just so
just
so off.
Overriding vocals.
I'm surprised we managed to even write it properly with how much delay we had. anytime there was like a part where we had to like trade off quickly, just one of us would just do the whole thing as best we could.
That's what I was gonna say. I feel like you guys might have just like wrote it with like the blank spaces from like third grade English class. I'm like, so it's quick attack, what is your rhyme?
Yeah.
Flip it back.
It was a whole Mad Lib, really.
That's the best though.
Yeah. I'm just dying to see more songs like that in there. Cause it, you know, it's tough. It's tough to do. It's tough to like, that's the kind of stuff that you want to like be in the studio for, that you want. And I talked about this a little bit. I forget if it was on, you know, here or elsewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Probably both. Like, I talk about it a lot, just like this dream I have of like being able to actually get in a studio like with my friends, with, you know, with everybody that I've worked with and that I want to work with, and just do like, you know, like start to finish create songs in the studio. Like that has been like just a long time dream of mine, just do that kind of like real-time collaborative work. Whenever I, so like my favorite band is Queen, and like, I don't think this is like too uncommon, but like, I always picture their sort of process where they would just like, they'd rent like a studio with like an attached, you know, or like a house basically with a studio in it out in the middle of nowhere. They'd just be there for 2 weeks and they'd write and record an album. Like, that's what I want to do.
Yeah. That's the dream. One of the my compare dream for that is Revenge of the Dream for Free. the gym
was. Oh, you're breaking like up a little bit. One more time.
Yeah, my internet went to hell and said go fuck a goat.
You're good. You're good.
My internet's very disrespectful to me. So Revenge of the Dreamer 3, one of my favorite albums that dropped that year when it dropped. The way that album came together was J. Cole sent out like 150 or something invitations to people in the industry, people he has worked with, wants to work with, friends, famous names, just anyone and everyone that he could, and just sent out invitations. And he had this like record label building or studio building that had like a bunch of freaking like studios and centers or whatever, and just invited all of them. And he's like, yo, y'all got like 5 days, make an album. So you have like producers like running the room. Carrying just
you disappeared again.
Yeah. Oh my god. it just does not want to be cooperative for this story. But pretty much 100 plus people in a building with a bunch of studio rooms, and just everyone's running in and out, just collaborating. Like, yo, let me hop on that beat real quick.
Yeah.
Jot something down real quick, hop in the booth, start spitting, run out, dip to another room. And then like a 30-minute like YouTube documentary on Revenge of the Dreamer 3. And I see that and I'm like, God, if nerdcore could do that,
yo,
if the homies could do that, imagine everyone. Because if you think about it, like, of the people that regularly are affiliated with the term nerdcore, right? Uh-huh. And I'm also going to extend this to like include like Dan Bull, Stupendium,
sure,
Nemraps, you know.
Well, they're definitely, you know, in nerdcore, even if they're not necessarily always
on the
anime side.
What's his name? There we go, Ben. Oh, I was freaking him, and I was gonna freaking shoot my foot, right? So like them, just nerd out. If everyone, imagine all of us in a building, just making music.
Yeah,
that's like that's all we're doing. We just DPS out here making crazy fucking beats. You know, you hopping in the booth, just spitting some crazy bars. Cam in the other room, just screaming his lungs out. Divide singing. Chi Chi just being a mad lettuce, just running through the hall, shrieking. She's having so much fun. Just everyone just having a blast making music.
Yeah. That's like, I swear, I wake up in the night just like, just feeling like like I'm in the wrong place, like, because where I should be is in like a just an enormous content creator house with just all the homies. Am I trying to start a commune? Is that what I'm trying to do right now? Trying to start live on air, trying to start a nerdcore commune.
It's not enough farmland to feed all of us. It's not a lot. People have their own home. Not everyone has to live in the commune. Like, we're open to people being visitors. Like, we're not closing the gates. Come on.
Yeah.
Like, do you really want to go to your 9-to-5, or would you rather just wait and look out and go spit bars? I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I'm going to the commune, I think.
That's it. Me and Freest are gonna make a commune, and it's gonna be great. And we're gonna have cookies. And bars.
Okay. Cookies and lemon bars at the commune for everyone. Lemon bars. That's when life gives you lemons, you better make lemonade. Original lemon bar.
Boom. Look at that.
Ship that.
Are you a rapper? Do you rap?
Me, I'm not a rapper. I just play one on the internet. That's one of my favorite Kabuto the Python lyrics. Bar.
That is actually a great bar.
Well, I think that coinciding with this, you know, being a decent episode length, our internets are just gasping for air. So I think I want to put a cap
absolutely
on the magic right around here. I've got a quick will you press the button question for you, because we haven't really done a lot of those recently, and this one is just kind of. It took me forever to find just like a normal will you press the button question that wasn't either horribly depressing or illegible.
I mean,
this one,
it's my kind of style.
This one just says, and you know, we might have done this one on the show before, but it would have been a, you know, obviously asked to a different person if so it's gonna be a different answer. but it's you'll be granted immortality, but if you whistle even accidentally, you'll die instantly. Will you press the button?
Oh yeah, I'll press the button. I'll slap the shit out of that button. I'll slap that button harder than I smack an ass.
Can you slap that button? Do you not just like sometimes whistle? Just like without thinking about it?
Sir. Where is my button? I want to slap.
I think my problem with this is that I have like sometimes such minimal self-awareness because I zone out, and I would say that a good like 40 to 50% of my day is spent having that exact feeling of when you are in your car and you get to the place that you were going to, then you realize that you have no idea how you made it there because you don't remember, like you zoned out the entire time. Like that's how I feel all the time. And I was driving home from Chicago yesterday, and I was trying like different ways of like staying awake, but then what happened was I have this like CD of just like freestyle like boom bap beats.
Okay.
So I put that in. And I was just, you know, on the freeway freestyling, having a good time. And then, but I got through most of the CD and then realized that I had like no voice left. So I was like, okay, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to be completely silent for, you know, the next hour and, you know, kind of get my voice back. And there's nobody else in the car. So it's just me. I was like, yeah, I'll just be completely silent, get the voice. I'll do some thinking, you know, I'll just kind of reflect. Not like 4 minutes go by, and I realize mid doing it that I am singing, and I don't know when that began. Like I can't.
That is hilarious.
I just can't. I can't like be silent, I guess. So I would worry that I would just like to get back to the will you press the button question. It's you. You can't whistle if you ever do, even accidentally. That's the caveat. Even accidentally, you die instantly. Like, I am dead, like, day one, minute one, probably. Like, I will already have forgotten.
Understand, the minute you press that button, you go, guess I did it, and then drop dead.
That's 100%.
Like, that is the luck you'd have.
Yeah, no. These, I swear that half of these will you press the button questions are just like, they're just like Wile E. Coyote traps designed to kill people with ADHD.
So that's facts. For me, the reason why it was such an easy yes is because of the whistling fact, actually. Because if I'm functionally immortal, do you understand the stupid shit I would do? I would just walk. Like, I'd walk to you. I don't need food. I'm immortal. If I die of starvation, I'm not dead. I just walk more. I would just dead ass just start walking to places. And also, one of the biggest, like just to go like super meta for a second. No, my internet's going crazy. That's my answer. I'm pressing the button and I'm walking places, and then I'm gonna utilize the whistle technique whenever I'm like, you know what? Fuck.
Okay, yeah, you get on that like that Soviet spy tip, you know, where like you get into a place you can't extricate yourself from, and instead of like the false tooth with the capsule, you're just like and then that's it.
That's it.
I was trying to think of like the jauntiest whistle I could do.
All it takes is
just like,
yeah, it's confirmed. Me and Freeze are gonna do a song, but it's just gonna be all whistles.
All whistles.
Like, we're gonna subtitle the bars. It's just gonna be all whistles. We're gonna whistle the bars, but then subtitle them.
It's gonna be a Wolf Children song, and the song is gonna be called Wolf Whistles. Wait, I don't know. Perfect. Is Wolf Children about children? I've not seen it. Maybe Wolf Whistles is not the title for a song about children. Yeah, we'll workshop it. We'll find a wolf thing. We'll get it working.
We'll get there. We'll think tank.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, yeah. Well, let's see. We got your answer. We got my answer. Last thing is, well, you know, actually, first, why don't you tell people where they can find you online, what you got going on, where they should catch the Professor Kuro experience.
Yes, sir. So y'all can find me everywhere under the name Professor Kuro. Also, be sure to check out the Nerdcore Central podcast, aka the NCC. We are also everywhere, Twitch, Spotify, Apple Music. Be sure to pull up this weekend. We have the Queen Yandere herself, Twisted Savvy. Also, be on the lookout because the next few tracks I'm dropping, if y'all like Jiraiya, are going to be complete. So we hit 180 left and then we 180, so stay tuned. We go crazy.
That last part was all auto-tuned. Everything that you said about what you were like about after the word Jiraiya, but I kind of like that. I kind of like that people will either have to like decipher what you said, like feed it through an algorithm until it like de-robotizes you, or you could just say it again. I'm gonna leave that up to you, but I like the funky auto-tune effect that just happened in my ears.
Okay, let's go. They're just gonna have to feel it. They're just gonna let the juju talk to them.
Well, yeah. So sub to Kuro. go check out Nerdcore Central. It is a damn fine podcast, if I do say so myself. As usual, y'all can find me on youtube.com/freest for my music, youtube.com/fneest, that's F2CED, for my reactions and stuff, plus this podcast, fneest. Twitter at @mefreest, Instagram at @freestraps, TikTok at @freest. I keep adding social media. It's not the best idea, but I'm having fun. We're having fun out here, and that's what matters. You can also catch me. I don't know if I have another battle this season, but when I do have battles, you can catch me in the Packed Lunch Battle League over on Shrobity Stream every other Sunday. And you can listen to my past battles on Shrobados, including the one that I just had against Connor Quest, which people are calling the battle of the season. So, yeah, check that out. Big, long-winded rundown. Carl, I need a favor.
Love it. Got you.
Could you leave the people with a phrase to rhyme with in the comments?
A phrase?
Any old phrase, and then down in the comments, y'all just leave your best rhyme to this phrase.
Let's get wrecked. That is your phrase.
Let's get wrecked. Okay. So it's like, so like, okay, let's get wrecked. So if you had a Western dinosaur, it'd be a Texas Rex. So
exactly.
Y'all leave a better rhyme for that in the comments. But thank you all for listening to the Breakfast Club. Thank you, Kuro, for joining me. Thank you, Internet, for not completely giving out for like a fourth time. Yeah. And till the next time.
Freest. For having me. Appreciate it. This has been a lot of fun. I never got to be on this side of the podcast, but this has been an absolute joy.
How's the view from the summit?
Breathtaking.
That's what we love to hear.
Absolute haiku genjutsu type shit.
Love it. All right. Thank you very much for listening. We will see you later. Take care.